For those of you who don't know, my name's Tommy Ackerman. I'm an elder here, and I'm going to be preaching this morning. Yeah, Pastor Victor and his family, along with a couple of the students I mentioned at the very start, are up at the Chi Alpha SALT Conference. So it's an annual conference for the Great Lakes region. So a number of states, the different Chi Alphas come together, and this is one of the biggest ones ever. They were expecting about 1,000 people there in Chicago. So that's going still today, I believe part of tomorrow, and they should be back tomorrow in the afternoon. So please be lifting up Pastor Victor and all the students there from across the region to really encounter the Lord. So I'm excited to be sharing with you this morning. Glad to see a few people back here, Sam and Sophia, back here married from India. Hallelujah. Also back, Sumit is back from his travels here. I think he stepped out here, but yeah. And my mom is back after her heart attack. So hallelujah. God is good. Well, welcome to everyone this morning. I did want to also mention tomorrow night, our brother Kent Thornquist, some of you know him, raise your hand back there, Kent. He has an amazing testimony of what God's done in his life, and we're really privileged tomorrow night at Monday Night Prayer. He's going to be sharing that. So please be lifting that up in prayer. I would invite you guys to come out. It's awesome what God's done in his life. Can't wait to hear about it, so I'd encourage you guys to come out to that. So, all right, I'm going to pray one more time here for the Lord to anoint the word. So God, I thank you again for this time. Lord, I thank you that you love to speak to us through your word. And I ask, God, I empty myself of all of me right now. I ask that you would come and breathe on your word and what you would want to speak to every heart. I ask for a revelation right now into our inner man of what you want to do, God. Come and anoint your word. Use me as a vessel right now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. All right, well, there's a story of a pilot. My dad's a pilot in the past. Many of you didn't know that. He hasn't flown in a while, but there was a story of an airline pilot who would regularly fly a route over the Appalachian Mountains. And his co-pilot with him noticed that he would always kind of look down when they were in a certain spot, real intently looking down out of there. And finally, one time, after several times of this, the co-pilot asked him, you know, what are you looking at down there? It seems like you're always intently gazing at something. He's like, well, you see that stream right over there, that spot? He's like, when I was a kid, I used to fish down there, and every time a plane would fly over, I'd wish, man, I wish I was a pilot up there flying. Now every time when I fly over that, I wish, man, I was down there fishing again. And so, isn't that true? So, we're going to talk about contentment this morning. Amen? And so our key passage is going to be 1 Timothy 6:6, which says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. I love that. And there's really some irony in that we're going to look at. Because usually we think gain is getting that next thing we want, right? Where it's actually in the Bible, it says that contentment, when we have that, there's great gain in that. And I love this definition to start. Some of you maybe heard this. There's many, you know, different phrases, things you might see. You know, there's all these different, like, memes or Facebook things now with some cool definitions you can get. But I love this definition of contentment. It's knowing that God has given me everything I need for my present happiness. So right now, today, sitting here in church this morning, I have everything from God that I need for my present happiness. I feel like that's such a powerful definition of that word, and I felt the Lord direct me as I was thinking about what to speak even this week, really changed what I had been thinking about on Wednesday and switched to this topic. And, you know, for me and Emily, one of the areas that the Lord's kind of impressed on me to really be content is we've been wanting to move. So praise God, we love our house, we love West Peoria, with four kids, you know, it just felt a little bit tight, in our house and that, and, you know, my schedule would have been, we were going to sell it last year, we had it on the market, didn't move at all, and, you know, the market's kind of been down in this area and that, and so it was just kind of struggling with that this last week, and, you know, the devil comes and is, you're never going to sell this for the price you need, or you're never going to get out of here, and all these different things, And that was really, this week, the Lord kind of shifted my thinking on what I was going to preach about, because I needed this word, probably even more than any of you guys did. And, you know, the Lord began to remind me, just so you know, for the majority of human history, you're living better off than the majority of people ever have, by the way, with more room and a nicer house than most people ever have. And so I began to repent and just give that to the Lord and remember where he's brought me and. So that's kind of the background of how I got here today and what we're talking about. So I wanted to look at three areas or three main things today. One, I want to talk about some areas of contentment. There's many. This isn't the full list. The other being some keys to contentment. And then to close with looking at what contentment is not. And somehow I think that can be confused of what contentment is and what it's not. So first off, I want to look at some of the areas of contentment that we might be challenged with. And I think, at least for me, I don't know about you, one of the things that immediately comes to mind when you hear about being content is things, right? I just mentioned house. A lot of times you'll hear money talked about. We need to be content with the money we have, things like that. So I thought I'd start off just looking at some of the things to be content with in life and how we get challenged with that. And, you know, it's funny sometimes when you have a certain amount and it seems great, whether that's money, things you have, and then all of a sudden you happen to notice somebody else, maybe kind of like you, or and it's like, oh, they have more than this, you know? So I know even having kids, it's like you can give 3 chips to one kid. And that's awesome. I get to have chips. And all of a sudden somebody else gets 4 chips. And it's like, well, you got 4. I mean, what? And suddenly the 3 chips isn't so good anymore, right? And it's like, what's going on here, you know? And that seems silly, right? But it's like, wow, I do that with God, you know? It's like, he blesses me with this thing over here. And, oh, this is so great. And then you look over here and it's like, oh, I don't have that. I mean, why don't, you know, I should be there and I'm not there. So things, right? Money, houses, cars, clothes. But Jesus says in Luke 12:15, and this one isn't in there, Jason, sorry, but Luke 12:15 says that one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And not that it's bad to have things, right? I believe God wants to bless us with nice things, but having that, you know, this inner attitude that those things don't ultimately fulfill me, right? And so this isn't a message to rebuke having nice things or, you know, you need to repent for being worldly. It's not that at all, but really more going after the attitude. I believe whether we have a little bit or a lot, we can be in the place of discontentment, or vice versa. Whether we have a little or a lot, we can be content in that. And I would probably argue, and I'm no expert on this, but I would probably argue that it's harder to be content the more you have. And even when you read Solomon in Ecclesiastes, it's like the more he got, he's like, I got everything. He kept trying to fill. And I would actually probably argue that it's easier to be content when you have less. Some of you might not agree with that. You're like, hey. Anyway, you know, I've heard people with big houses that want smaller houses. They're tired of cleaning their big house. People with small houses want more space. People with a certain type of car. Someone a couple weeks ago was talking about how they didn't want a minivan, you know. And by the way, praise God for minivans, you know. Yeah. Emily and I maybe thought we'd never wanted a minivan either, but then, you know, you have kids and it's like minivans are pretty sweet. But I've known, like, you know, moms that, like, wanted to get out of their minivan and get a cool SUV. And then I was talking to one a few weeks ago. I was like, you know, I actually really miss the minivan. Like, I miss that trunk. It's just, it's hilarious. It's like, we're ridiculous, right? But anyway, Charles Spurgeon once said, you say if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. So many of you know Charles Spurgeon, right? Famous preacher. But he says, you make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it were doubled. So that's some things, right? There's a lot of things we could, that was a bad way to say that, but there's many areas we could talk about related to things, whether it's money, again, you know, the things you have in that. Secondly, I wanted to look at another area of contentment is position. So some of you, you're at various jobs. You have different roles at your job. Maybe it's in ministry here. Maybe it's your position in your family, whatever it would be. And sometimes we don't like that position we're in. We might want to be a little bit higher, right? We can get discontent there. The recognition we're getting at work, the title we have, we might want a bigger title in that. So, you know, our position in life, how are we doing with being content with where God has us? And speaking of Kent, my brother back there, many of you know he works at Avani's. And I've been convicted. He's a manager there. And some weeks, what, you have 60, 80-hour weeks, Kent? So some crazy hours. And, you know, I've been really challenged even talking to him a few times about his job at work. And, he might mention the fact he had to work 60, 70 hours, but he's always really positive at the end, you know, of like, praise God, though, he's good. And he's helping me there. And I'm thinking like, man, I'd be, you know, dying. So even thinking like when we have something like that, do we think about like the positive things with that or immediately go to, well, it kind of stinks. I got to work, you know, 60, 70 hours and all this stuff. So I appreciate that from you, brother. That's true. That's a good one. Can't pray for rain and complain about the mud. I like that. That's a good one, man. I should have had that in here. Yeah, that's right. So how about just in general, your other circumstances in life? This is the one the Lord's been speaking to me a lot about lately, whether that is maybe where you live, okay, maybe being in Peoria, Illinois. Some of you, you know, sometimes we desire when it's 8 degrees, like, I just wish I lived somewhere warmer. Or could be that location. It could be your position, again, like in your family, relationships, just where you're at right now, the people you're surrounded with. It can be easy to say, man, if I just had, you know, different people in my life, or maybe if I just had like a fresh start, or I just need to like get out of here or just do something different. It's like the devil can bring these thoughts of like, if only, and it's kind of this dream of out there someday, if I could get there or change this. Again, maybe being married versus single. Maybe if you have kids, the ages of your kids. So I know sometimes, you know, having a wife, right, with little kids, when you're in the midst of the throes of that, it can be, you know, yeah, man, someday, like when they're a little bit older, we'll be able to do this or that. And then they get a little bit older, and it's, I miss when they were so cute as little kids. And it's like the devil knows how to just constantly get us not where we are right now, just kind of wanting if I could just be here, or, oh, I wish it was like that, or in other ways. So G.K. Chesterton says that true contentment is the power of getting out of any situation all that there is in it. So I'll say that again. True contentment is the power of getting out of any situation all that there is in it, right? So it doesn't mean where you're at, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, what contentment's not. So I'm jumping ahead a little bit. It doesn't mean for a certain situation you're in that you have to stay there forever. Or that it's God's will. Sometimes there's things, maybe you're going to pass, you know, it's a test you're in, you're going to pass it unto something or whatever, but just choosing to say, okay, right now, today, I have everything I need to get through this, whatever it is. The people in my life, the job I'm in, wherever that is, right now, today, God has me here for a reason. I'm just going to believe that in faith and press through this. Here's another big one, the timing of when God does things, right? So maybe you've been really faithful to the Lord. You've had a quiet time every day. You're faithful in your job. You treat the people nice around you. You've been walking in patience. You've been giving generously. And Lord, surely by now, I thought you would have done this, right? And you fill in the blank of what that might be in your life. Lord, I've sought your face and all this stuff. And, you know, your word says that, you'll do this for those who obey you. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered, right? And I'm not feeling that right now, Lord. Like, where is this, you know? And just really being content with God's timing. And I think that's probably something that will really blow us away, maybe more than anything, whether it's at the end of our life or looking back from eternity, just realizing how much better God's timing was than our timing. And we know, you know, the word says his ways are not our ways. And we definitely have, like I mentioned with my house, I mean, I have a time frame. I wanted to do things a certain way at a certain time, and sometimes the Lord's like, just hold on a second. And I love in Isaiah, it says that the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. So there are times when the breakthrough comes, like, boom, you pray and it happens. And then other times, it's like, where is this, Lord, you know? I think about our building situation here, right? So, Lord, surely by now, we would have got a new building as a church, right? But just, hey, being content, I don't necessarily believe. Praise God for Derek letting us use this place. But we're still, you know, believing that the Lord has something. So, again, we'll get to that more later on, not necessarily resigning to the circumstances, but being willing to recognize, hey, right now, Lord, this is where you got me, and I'm going to give thanks to you in the midst of it. Amen? So God's timing. Another area might be your age. So this is another funny one to me. You know, from the time you're a little kid, you wish you could drive a car. Right? Elijah, probably you wish you could drive a car someday, right? So when you're a kid, you're always looking ahead to when I graduate high school, when I go off to college, you know, when I do this, always just looking ahead. And then there's this point in your life where you're like, I kind of wish I was like younger again. And I wish I was like, you know, as people get older, I wish I was back in my prime or was strong again or all these things. So our age or even the time of history we're in. So you hear sayings like, you know, back in the good old days, you know, it wasn't like this back then. Like, we didn't have to do this. Or even wanting, like, in the future, this will be better because, you know, whatever, technology will be better. And again, always looking at something other than the present time we're in. There's actually a verse in the Bible that, you know, we're not the only ones that do that, if you hear the phrase, back in the good old days. Because in Ecclesiastes 7:10, it says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. So the good old days, whatever that is for you, 5 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever that might be, when you were in the good old days, you weren't thinking, this is the good old days, right? You were wishing, I wish I was in the good old days then, or I wish I was older, or I, you know, so it's kind of this illusion in our head that if only we were somewhere else, again, other than where we are right now. So I really believe, you know, contentment, I believe it's something really in our spirit, right? It's a place of abiding. It's a place of where our spirit is at rest in the Lord. And one of the definitions of discontentment is really having this restlessness inside. And I'm talking, there's a difference between the Lord starts prodding you and you start feeling like, I don't know, the Lord's like moving something, right? There's a difference between that and a worldly, fleshly restlessness, which is just not able to rest in the Lord. Not able to say, God, you have this. You got me right where I want. So does that make sense? Like, I think there's a big difference, and I don't want to confuse the two, because sometimes the Lord will push us into this place of uncomfort, and I believe, tripping on the cord here, a Holy Ghost discontentment. I've heard that word used, which sounds counterintuitive. That's not necessarily a biblical term, but I believe there is this Holy Spirit dissatisfaction where, like, hey, it's not okay that I haven't led someone to the Lord in the last year, or, you know, it's like, I know there's more in the Lord. So there's kind of that, I'm reaching for the more. Totally different versus I'm discontent with somewhere where God, a season God has me in. And so really being able to know that. And I believe a lot of times we need the word to come, like it says, and divide between joint and marrow to know the difference between those. Is this really God trying to push me out here? Or is it my flesh just kind of saying, I don't like this thing that I'm in right now, Lord. I'm going to try to jump out of this. The fire, you know, the water's getting hot in here. I'm going to jump out from this test I'm in. So I think we need the Lord. I think we need people in our lives to help us discern, because a lot of times when we're in those, we don't know which one it is, right? And it can feel like God's moving me to do this, right? We might hear that a lot. The Lord told me to do something like that. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, I hope so. It might have been. I don't know for sure. I hope it is. But I think we need those wise counselors in our life. And we need the word ultimately to come and speak to us when we don't know the difference of that. All right, a couple more areas. One other, I believe, important one is your abilities, callings, and giftings. And have you come to terms with and accepted and are thankful and love who God has made you to be? One thing I've been so thankful for, I've talked to many about this before at my job. I work at Water Street Solutions. We've had really neat training on a couple different assessments that are really deep and help all the employees understand each other better, but also clients we work with. It's helped me and my family. Emily's taken it. Some of you have taken the SOI. There's another one called the PPI. And it really has given me a lot of understanding, even with some of the stuff the Word has said, understanding who I am better and who other people are. And I've been really thankful for that. And it can be hard when you look around to not just wish, like, I wish I could, whatever. I wish I could sing like, you know, Corey. Or I wish I could do X, Y, or Z. Or I wish I had a personality like this. And really coming to terms with, hey, this is who God's made me to be. He might use me uniquely like this. Most of the time, he's going to use me like this. And sometimes we don't like that about ourselves, right? Like, we realize, who's the one that made me like this, right? And who gave me those giftings and callings? So being content with who God's made us to be. I was talking with my brother Dave, many of you know him, a couple weeks ago, and me and him are like totally opposite. So we've been best friends since we were little. We shared a bedroom. We're 15 months apart. Totally different personalities, right? And I noticed like early on, like junior high, even high school, Dave had an ability to come into a room and take over the room, could talk to anybody, you know, could talk to girls better than I could. He had an ability to like just connect with people and all this stuff, where I was a lot more like, kind of shy, reserved. And, you know, it dawned on me like in high school, I'm like, I can't even do that if I tried to. Like, it would look stupid. I wouldn't even be able to do that. And I remember I had jealousy of him in ways like, I wish I could do that, or I wish I knew how to, you know, connect with people like that or whatever. Me and Dave were talking a couple weeks ago. He was jealous. Like, I wish I was more like steady like Tommy, and I wish I could do this. And it's hilarious. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, you know, people in Hollywood, sports athletes are always, well, I wish I had this and I'm missing this or whatever. So really coming to terms with, hey, God's made me who I'm supposed to be, and he has a plan in that. So coming to terms with that. Another convicting verse, staying in 1 Timothy 6 there, verse 8. And it says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." So I'm still looking in there, wondering if it says, "And nice bigger house." But I keep saying food and clothing. I'm like, wow. Doesn't even say you get a roof over your head, right? And I remember even being in Brazil, we did a couple missions trips there and meeting this really sweet family. I think they had like 3 or 4 kids, and they literally were living at the time in this place with like a tarp. And it was literally a one-room place, probably from here to the wall, like from Jason to these chairs. And they had like this little spot to cook. They all somehow kind of slept. Sometimes they'd be kind of outside, basically on the dirt, you know. And just realizing like the biblical definition is God says for sure we can be thankful with food and clothing. So really anything else above that is a bonus. Roof over our head, car, washer and dryer, every appliance, you know, every modern thing we have. So again, all you have clothes on here today, so you at least got that. I'm guessing most of you ate. So we should be able to be content this morning according to the Bible. Amen. All right, one other quote as we jump into some keys to contentment. This is an anonymous quote, but contentment is not the fulfillment of what you want, but the realization of how much you already have. So it's totally a lie to think, if only I would get this, if only I could be here, then I'd be content. I'm not right now. It won't happen, right? If we're not right now, presently today, content, there's no way you will be tomorrow if you get that thing you think you want. That promotion at work, that extra pay. Praise God, Samit has a testimony of getting a raise at work. Amen. So praise God. I'm all for that. Money's not bad, right? If you keep reading on in Timothy, it's the love of money, the pursuit of riches that leads to many temptations, it says, if you keep reading in that chapter, in verse 9 and 10. I'll just read it. So it says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. That's in verse 8 of 1 Timothy 6. Verse 9 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Again, is it bad to be rich? Do you guys think? No, not bad to be rich. No, it is not at all. So I believe that's a misunderstanding. I believe God wants us to be successful. There's incredible testimonies out there of, you know, David Green with Hobby Lobby or, you know, the Chick-fil-A CEOs and many others that have great wealth that are using it for the kingdom and all kinds of things. So money clearly is not the problem, but it's this desire to be rich. So again, you can be poor and have that same heart condition of lusting to be rich. You can be rich and have that, or vice versa. You can be poor and not have that at all. You can be rich and not have that. So we got to be careful. We never want to judge people like somehow somebody who's really rich that, oh, they must really love money and be. No, not necessarily. Their heart might actually be better than mine. They have twice as much money as me, but they are actually way less concerned about it than I am. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil in verse 10, from which some, having strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So again, I believe that is a really key area our whole life is money, right? And I believe that's a continual test. If you have a little bit of money, it's a test. Will you be faithful giving? Will you be generous when you have little money? You get tested when you have a lot of money. Will your heart stay loyal to God? Will you continue to be generous, right? So being content with those things. All right. So moving on here to some keys to contentment. And this is a very brief list. There's probably way better and more keys, but these are a few the Lord was speaking to me about. First off, remembering what you do have, along with that quote I just read, and how far God has brought you. And so, you know, if you ever do a word search, it's so great now that there's great technology, like Blue Letter Bible is a good app. I don't know if any of you guys have that. There's other apps. Get on Google now. It's like you can do a word search so easy now with technology. It's pretty cool that average people like us can study the Bible and find all these things. But if you just type in the word remember, if you got one of those apps, and just look at how many times in Deuteronomy and Psalms there's this command, remember. I mean, it's just like, boom, this huge list of verses comes up. So in Deuteronomy, he kept saying it over and over to him. Remember how you came out of Egypt? Remember how the Lord led you out of bondage? Remember how you were slaves? Remember how it was before? And it's just this continual, and they would wear things on him, right, with verses to remind him of what the Lord had done. So Psalm 77:11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. And again, there's 50 verses like that in Deuteronomy and Psalms. So I would just encourage you guys, when you're in that season, maybe you're struggling with discontentment, Do you have any practical ways of being able to go about that remembering process? Maybe it's just getting out and writing down a list of things the Lord has done for you. Maybe it's financial provision you've had. Maybe it's times the Lord protected you, like you should have been in an accident. All the ways he's got you to where you are today. Times you thought you wouldn't make it through. Maybe it's breakthroughs in relationships you've had and things like that. So really, I believe a first key there, remembering what you do have right now, today, and how far God has brought you. Number two is really, it's really a mindset and a place, again, as I mentioned, a condition of the spirit. And it is a conscious decision we have to make, though, right? So I believe even if you're content today, you might tomorrow have to make another conscious decision that I'm going to be content today. And Paul says in Philippians 4:11, "For I've learned in whatever state I am to be content." So even the Apostle Paul had to learn this, right? He says. So I don't know exactly what his process. I mean, we learn about Paul, some of the things he went through, how he gave thanks. But he says, "I had to learn this in whatever state I am to be content." And that's powerful. Another huge one I alluded to a little bit earlier, not comparing to others. And I believe this is one of the most deadliest traps. I believe one of the sneakiest ways the enemy can get to us is giving you somebody that's kind of like you in your life, maybe a similar age, maybe you go to church together, you graduated together, and you've kind of maybe gone through life, you know, and you're doing these things, and all of a sudden they get this, but you're still here, right? So again, it could be any of the things I talked about before, money, marriage, I mean, whatever it is. And it's this subtle comparison of, they got more than me. Kind of my example again of kids who are jealous of each other's food, right? And who has more. But I believe the devil really does that in subtle ways to us of, oh, you know, here I've been and I'm like this and they're over here and they have it and I don't have this. Well, Paul addresses that because apparently the Corinthians had that trouble as well, or at least people he was talking about, 2 Corinthians 10:12. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Okay, so it's spiritually, if you start comparing each other, well, I do this kind of like them, that's foolish. Comparing stuff that you have, how the Lord's blessed you, maybe compared to other people, that's really a trap of the enemy. And if you remember when Peter was on the beach with Jesus, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, if you remember the story, he asked him three times, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Feed my sheep," right? There was a point there at the end. He was talking about what Peter was going to go through, right, and how he was going to be led away and ultimately prophesying his crucifixion. And Peter even said, looks over at about John and says, "But Lord, what about him?" And Jesus is like, don't worry about him. Like, and then there was this whole thing of, oh, he's not going to die until the resurrection happens. But even Peter, Jesus is like, "Here's what your calling is going to be." And he's like, immediately is like, "Well, what about him?" You know, and Jesus is like, "Don't worry about John over there. I got something different for John. We're talking about you right now," right? And how I believe if we really embrace the call of God, he's going to tell you guys stuff. There's going to be things you can't do that other Christians get to do. And there's going to be this, "Why, Lord? That's not fair." Or beginning to justify it. "Well, they get to do it. Maybe I can do it." But there's going to be things the Holy Spirit tells you, "No, you're here right now. You're supposed to do that. I led them here. That's for them. Don't try to be like them. Don't try to have their calling and their rhema word and their why they did that. You're right here." And that can be a real challenge of discontentment, right? It begins to brew of like, "I don't get it, Lord. Why is this happening to them and it's not to me?" So I believe we got to be really careful in that area of comparing to other people and their callings, their giftings, and what God's doing in their lives. David also even wrestled with this, more talking about the wicked, but in Psalm 73, kind of a famous passage, you guys might remember that, where David says he looks around, he sees the prosperity of the wicked. There's no pains in their death. Like, "Lord, here I've been faithful. Look at how these guys are succeeding over here. I keep obeying you. I'm ethical at my job, and they keep getting the promotions. They're cheating and lying and all this stuff. I haven't been rewarded, you know, at all." And the devil comes in. He's like, some rewarder God is. Look, you've been obedient at your job, and these guys here in your office are getting promoted, and you're not, and all this stuff. And David's looking around like, "Lord, you know, what's going on here?" Until he says, "I went to the house of God." And I believe that's representative of getting up higher to the throne room where God is, getting perspective. Our minds are on things above. God takes us up. We go to the house of God, and he gives us that heavenly perspective. And he goes, "Wait a minute, Lord, I've been foolish. You know, your reward is with the righteous and those who seek you." And getting to that place. So never compare by each other. Another one, remembering I have everything I need for life and godliness. Another famous verse here, right? 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given to us. Everybody say, has given to us. Notice that's past tense. He's not going to give you everything you need. He has given you everything we need for that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. So again, do you believe this morning that right now, sitting in your chair, you have everything you need for life? That encompasses a lot. And godliness to live for the Lord. Or is there something, maybe when I get, you know, I need this thing to happen, or God's got to move this, you know, maybe when I graduate, or maybe, you know, after I get through this stage of life. Nope. Right now, today, we all have everything we need for life and godliness. Amen. How about this one? Remembering where we are going and the great rewards coming to those who are faithful. So again, if you're feeling discontent, and sometimes I think we want to spiritualize it and not admit that we're discontent with God, right? Because ultimately it's like, we might not say that, we're good at spiritualizing things. But really, if we're discontent, remembering, hey, he's the rewarder of those who seek him, right? Here's another good verse, Isaiah 49:4. I read this in my quiet time this week. Then I said, I've labored in vain. I spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord. So again, this struggling of, I've done all this stuff, I don't see any fruit out of it. But realizing God's the rewarder, his just reward is with those who seek him. All right, as we get in here to the last section, I want to look at what contentment is not. But I have a couple of questions to think about. How do I know if I'm discontent? So again, it's kind of like one of those things as Christians, we never want to say we're like offended, right? Like, I might be a little hurt. I'm not offended, right? Because, no. Maybe just a little hurt, but not offended. I think it's one of those things like, I'm really content. You know, praise God. I'm glad for where he's got me. But how do we know if we are maybe discontent a little bit, right? Maybe it's just sneaking in a little bit, just a little subtlety in your life. Do you have any areas where you think if I would get that thing or if this circumstance would change, then I'd be happy? In any area in our life where we think if I had this, then I'd be happy versus I have everything right now. So there's a good sign we might be discontent. Or just straight out despising where I'm currently placed. I don't like the people around me. I don't like my coworkers. I don't like, you know, whoever, right? And I'm tired of the situation. I'm ready to get out of here. My family, whatever it is, right? it could be that obvious. But I think more than that, maybe just asking the Holy Spirit, and we'll pray about this at the end, but just asking him, hey, are there any of those areas where I'm dreaming like grasping for the wind, right? If I get this thing, then I'll have everything I need in the Lord. Okay, so what contentment is not? Spiritual laziness, right? So, again, the true state of what the word's talking about of contentment, it is not a place of, well, I mean, you know, I'm not really seeking God. I'm really content, though. You know, I'm dead right now, but I'm content right there. I just, you know, the word says to be content, so I'm just really, really content. Amos 6:1 says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. And it's talking about this state of just, oh, it's just, everything's kind of cool, you know, I'm good, I'm not on fire, you know, I'm not anything like that, I'm just real content, you know. The word would actually call that being lukewarm, right? So we know the famous passage in Revelation 3, 16, to the Laodicean church, and God wishing that they were hot or cold. I won't read that, but many of you know that. So, again, if you have areas of your life you need breakthrough in, so pray for me. I still need major breakthrough with being short with the kids, right? And just not like, ah, guys, snapping on the kids, right? So I need a breakthrough of that. So contentment is not, you know, I'm just real content. You know, I still got some of these anger things that need to be worked out with my kids and that. That's not biblical contentment, right? And so, no, I'm pressing the Lord. This is not okay. I messed up again today. God, I repent. I receive your forgiveness and all that. But I'm not content to have certain areas like that in my life that need breakthrough, right? So that is not biblical contentment. Another one being resigning myself to circumstances. Well, I guess, you know, I guess it's God's will, you know, I'm just kind of content here, you know. You know, you read Hezekiah in the Bible. Isaiah comes to him and says, hey, God says, basically pack up your things. You're going home. You're going to die. And Hezekiah's like, what? And he goes to the house of God And he starts crying out and pleading with God, like, God, I've been faithful to you, and I've obeyed you, and what about this? And God's like, hey, Isaiah, turn around and go back to him. So Isaiah goes back and says, actually, the Lord just said you got 15 more years to live. So Hezekiah didn't sit there and just say, oh, man, yeah, you know, that's it. But really believing, hey, I'm content right here today, but that doesn't mean that certain situations in my life that aren't kingdom, that aren't God, that I'm not pressing in for those to change, right? I'm not going around maybe all day saying, woe is me, you know, these relationships are a wreck, or I need breakthrough in this area. And it's not a continual state of that, but it's believing and pressing in for what God has. So I can thank God in all situations, and I can even thank him for every situation, but that's a hard one to do. It's one thing to thank him in it. It's another thing to thank him for the situation. I can do that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm, again, just laying down and dying, right? Whether it's sickness or a breakthrough at job. I mean, hey, maybe you have a boss, and you feel like you've been humble and godly, and this boss just keeps tearing into you. I remember Derek at Caterpillar had a boss that was pretty brutal on him. And it was like he just kept humbling himself, trying to humble himself. It's like the situation isn't changing, right? And sometimes God will keep us there, and you'll have a boss, and you're going like, Lord, am I not? I think I've prayed through all my attitudes towards authority, and this guy keeps ripping me. I don't know what's going on here. But I believe it doesn't mean that, Lord, I just pray. I pray for the situation. I pray for this guy. Thank you that I'm here. I must need to learn something. But yet, I don't think we have to resign that for the next 20 years, I'm going to have a boss that just shreds me every day, right? I mean, I guess it could happen if we really need that in our lives, but... But just believing, hey, God can move these things, right? Here's another one, Zephaniah 1:12. Throwing a lot of scripture at you today. Hope that's all right with you guys. Go look them up later if you get them, if you want to meditate on them. There's a lot of revelation here. I'm kind of going through them fast. But Zephaniah 1:12 says, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. And it was just kind of pathetic state of the spirit of like, just kind of resigned to whatever, you know. And you might notice in your life, when you're really at a place of just kind of giving up, there's something you used to kind of be angry about it, and now you're just like, whatever. Like, I'm just so done with this. I'm so done with these people in my life. Who cares? I'm just done. That's actually even a more dangerous place to be than maybe you used to be upset about something, right? Just this resigning. I'm like, whatever. I don't know. I mean, the Lord's probably not going to really do anything good. He's probably not going to do anything bad. I mean, he's God. He's good. But he's probably not going to change this or not, you know. And so the Israelites had this state. And God said he was going to come search that out. That was not okay, right? And so it can be easy to get to that place. Again, maybe you've had disappointments. Maybe you've, again, said, Lord, I thought by now you're going to do this. And the devil comes. And you get a little discouraged. You get a little disappointed. And you just kind of think, well, you know, I'll keep doing my thing. I'll keep being faithful, but we lose that expectation that God's going to do something, like that burning inside of like believing the Lord's going to do this, and we just start kind of resigning to that, just saying, well, I don't know, he's probably not going to really do much for me. So we got to see those lies of the enemy, right, and renounce those and come against them. Don't give up on big dreams and callings that God's had on your life, okay? You might have thought they were going to happen 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Don't give up on them or resign yourself to that. Another area is... You know, Revelation says that the Spirit and the Bride say, come, right? All creation is groaning and wailing, crying out for the Son to come back, not resigning to the fact that there's evil in the world. All this stuff comes, you know, the ultimate culmination is the Spirit and the Bride are crying out, come make the wrong things right, Jesus. Like, it's not just a resigning, like, well, yeah, I guess everything's getting worse. No, it's this contending in prayer and contending for the kingdom to come and for Jesus to return ultimately. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite the worship team up now, and I want to choose today as we pray here to close. We're going to sing a song here, Enough. Many of you know it. I thought it was a fitting song to close with. You know, more than everything we can need, he's all that we need. He's more than enough for us. So I want to choose today as a body to really choose thankfulness, contentment with where God has us right now, wherever you are. If the Lord has really highlighted specific things to you, I'd encourage us, let's repent of those. Hey, Lord, I repent for my discontentment, my unthankfulness to you in this area, and I give you that. And I wanted to say, let's agree with the psalmist, again, David, in Psalm 73. I mentioned that chapter. When he says in verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? There's none upon earth that I desire besides you. So today, guys, I believe that the Lord wants to take us to a greater place of really a rest in our spirit, just knowing, hey, Lord, where you got me right now, the things I have, things I don't have, you're good. I have everything I need right now for my fulfillment in you. There's nothing I could get. There's no promotion I could get, no amount of money I could get. There's nothing that I could get that could take me beyond what you're able to give me right now here today. So you might not have that right now. You might be longing for it, saying, you know, I hear you say that, but I'm not experiencing that today. That's okay. That's all right. Admit that to the Lord. But he wants to come meet you right now. And he wants to come and fill that and get you to that place like David when he said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, until I went to the house of God. So as you just close your eyes, you can stand, you can sit, you can come to the altar. We're going to sing this. We're going to close. I'll lead us in a prayer, but I ask you just to set your eyes on the Lord. Ask him to take you up to that place where you have perspective, where you're soaring with the eagles, right? You can see rightly with God. You can see from eternity's perspective and not from our earthly view, right? Ask him even to search your heart, search our hearts for any of the ways that we're lusting after things that don't satisfy, maybe. He wants to come and fill that. It's so easy, guys. It's so easy in the culture we're in. You're being bombarded with it, right? And again, it's not bad to believe for nice things, right? Your family to be blessed, all these things. But you're being bombarded, though, with just this dissatisfaction, right? Constantly wanting to give you more. So let's pray together and we're going to sing. Lord, we say, who do we have, Lord, in heaven but you? Lord, there's no one that can satisfy like you. Lord, we repent for any ways our hearts are divided. You said we can't serve God and money. We repent for every way, God, that we've thought other things could somehow get our heart to that place that it should be right now. That fulfillment we can have right now with you. I think it's available. That peace in our spirit is available right now. Lord, and there's no earthly thing that could ever satisfy that. There's no location. Living on a beach wouldn't do that for us. Having $1 million wouldn't do it for us. Being like somebody we want to be like wouldn't do it for us, God. Only you can come and fill that place. So God, we repent. We repent, Lord God, of every area. Lord, everything we've lusted for, where you should have been the one filling it. We just say this morning, God, come and fill those places of our heart. Oh, Lord, I just pray for anyone right now here today. If you're struggling with whose God's made you to be, I just want you to renounce that lie. You think you were supposed to be something different, like a different personality, or be able to do things you can't do. You should be able to speak better than you do, or you wish you could look different. Just receive who the Lord's made you to be in him. Lord, I ask you to encounter those that are struggling with that today. I pray for those that are disappointed. They thought by now, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you would have done something. And where is it, Lord? I pray for those that are struggling with that, that you'd bring that rest in their spirit today. Lord, right now, we have everything we need. We look around us, God. We have everything we need for our present happiness. Thank you for food and clothing today, God. Thank you that we had comfortable beds to sleep on and furnaces that worked and we woke up and it was 8 degrees. A car that ran and got us here, Lord. People that love us in our lives for jobs, for this church even, for Pastor Victor. Those that have poured into us over the years. Thank you for men that have poured into us and women in our lives. Oh, God. Lord, we want to be content. We thank you. Your promise says that it is great gain to be content. So Lord, this morning, I pray you would unlock that key in this body, a key to great gain of being content. Thank you for that promise. Let's worship the Lord together. We need to sing this to him from the bottom of your heart, that he's really more than enough. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We agree, Lord. We say you're more than enough today for everything we could need. Lord, you're worth living for. As the song said, our whole life, our whole being, you are worth it, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are more than enough. Hallelujah, God. You are so much more than we could ever ask for, everything we could ever ask or need. You're the great satisfier. Thank you today, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, let your word minister to every heart. Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to us. Even as we go today, God, let your word run swiftly and be glorified in our lives, God. Remind us, Lord. Remind us to remember you, to remember your faithfulness, even every day, Lord. We thank you. I ask you to be with my brothers and sisters today, God. Would you go before us, God? We commit this day, this week to you. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We'll greet each other. Bless you guys. Love you. We'll be at prayer tomorrow night. Keep Pastor Victor in prayer and Kent sharing tomorrow night. So have an awesome day. Love you guys.